and John away from the other disciples. He said, watch with me while I go pray. And his soul been exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. On that dark night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says he went to the throne, stole away, and fell on his face, and he prayed three times. He said, Father, if it be possible, he said, let this cup pass for me. But nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. Jesus is saying, in essence, Father, just have your way in my life. Yes, this cup is bitter, and the cross is a place of torment and a place of shame, because the Bible says, cursed is he that hangs on a tree, but have your way. The cross is a place of intense pain and suffering, but Father, have your way. And Jesus died that we might live. Yes, he did. But every Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. Ain't God all right? We say to us this morning, even if our suffering caused us to give up the ghost, and we have to cross over to the other side, don't worry. Those who die in the Lord will one day be raised up with him. But in the meantime, you ought to tell the Lord, Lord, have your way in my life. When I'm burdened down, have your way. When troubles come, have your way. When I don't know which way to go, just have your way. When I don't know why things are happening in my life, just have your way.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name that we come before your presence tonight. We pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost to take your word, to unfold it, to make it plain, to give us understanding that we might practice these principles, receive the profit. Oh God, thank you for your people who've made the sacrifice to be a part of this study tonight. Do in this setting what you desire to do by your Spirit, and God would be ever so careful and grateful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the believer said, amen. Well, come on, give God some praise. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are so thankful again for this first study as we are continuing our study in the Word in 2008. Come on, give God some praise for that. I'm just glad you're a part of it. I want to share many, many wonderful truths with you to develop your thinking and your operating in the Word of God. One of the things that I am grateful for is how the Spirit of the Lord moves and how when we are obedient to Him, we are able to benefit from that. And next Wednesday, Lord, say the same. I want to begin that, different and, mind-opening experience with a teaching called It's All in Your Mind. And because that's where it begins. That's why the devil fights for your mind, your thought processes. That's why he wants to be in that place where decisions are made. And you're going to know how God feels about it and what he's already said about those things that are there. So that's why it's so important that we revisit that. But before we do that, I want you to take a fresh look at this first Wednesday night teaching at the Word of God of how in the Old Testament God so structured the importance of his word to his people and how in that same reality he gave them a sense of understanding the importance of the knowledge of the word of God so that they would have the instructions to operate in the word of God. They didn't have the privilege of having printed Bibles like we do today. They couldn't just go to the church or the temple and hear the word or read the word. And so they were given the word by priests. That's one of the reasons why in Ezekiel, when the people had gone astray and left the ways of God, and God sent Ezekiel down to check out the situation, the Bible says, Ezekiel said, I sat where they sat, and I was astonished for 7 days, couldn't speak nothing. What did he discover? He discovered that the errors of the people was because of the preaching of the priest. That the people followed and made the mistakes that they made because they had gotten erroneous teaching. And so you can't practice what you don't know. And if you're practicing what you have been taught that's been wrong, it is still out of, listen, this is content, but it can be taken out of context. Just because it's in the Word of God don't mean that it has gotten out of it properly. And so that's why it's important for you to recognize so many different entities to understanding the Word of God. But it all began with a simple principle of hearing the Word of God and moving forth in there. There are three areas out of verse 12 that we're going to look at in Deuteronomy chapter 31. You can open it up there and look, Deuteronomy 31. Verse 12 is where we're literally going to launch our study from. But in that one verse, you're going to find several things that I think will be helpful in your personal devotion to the study of the Word of God and to the application. One of the things that you're going to see, and you can list them down and we'll go back through them. First is that we're going to focus on the listeners of the word, the listeners of the word. And then you're going to focus on the fact that they were to be learners of the word, learners of the word. And then thirdly, you're going to see that they were supposed to live the word. And so when we look at these in progressive form, the first thing that you must know is that God wanted to call the attention to the people of God concerning his word to first hear it. So every 7 years, God would have the priest, Moses gave this command, to gather all of the people together. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, minister the word of God to them. Here's the word. Deuteronomy 31 and 12, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. So now here again, you'll see Moses instructs the priests to gather the people together and minister the word of God. Now look at who he's talking about, because I want you to see the importance and the priority that Moses places on hearing the word of God. He says, again, verse 12, gather the people together. Who are you talking about? He says, men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates, which means anybody who works with you, anybody who works for you, anybody who shares your home, or guest in your home, etc. He's literally saying at this time of the year, if they're connected with you in any way, bring them to hear the word of the Lord. That's like sometimes at these, you know, special holiday times when we have services and we've got guests in. Some of us won't come hear the word of God because we got guests in town. Well, I tell you, if they're in your house and you honor your God, then you ought to make sure that they know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that means, let me let you know, before you say you want to come stay with me, we go to Christmas morning service. Everybody go. I'm thinking about putting a place so all the dogs can come, the cats and everybody else. So we make sure everything that breathes can come and have some worship experience. But in all seriousness, you want to make sure that you are, because here's what the word was saying. You are responsible for everybody that's connected in your house as head of your household, that they would, and this is again the Old Testament showing the structure and the standard upon which God placed his word and how Moses honored that and made sure that everybody understood. And so even though this was every 7 years, they gathered everybody. And if you had any workers, any maids, anybody contracted to work with you, et cetera, all of them had to come and hear the word of God, listening. Well, we know this. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
By hearing, and hearing by what?
Word.
See, the first thing God knows is your faith cannot even be challenged if you don't hear the word of God. See, you think, you know, that you can grow and do and mature on your own. No, there is a supernatural transformation that takes place when the spoken word leaves the authoritative, ordained man or woman of God who speaks what God says, and it reaches your ear. It begins to do something to your faith underneath the skin. See, you can read all day and all night. You'll never get out of it what you read as opposed to what I get out of it when I share it with you. And so there are some things you've got to understand, that there is a mechanism inside of the hearing and the preaching, and the preaching and the hearing that goes together. And when you recognize that and understand that, you begin to understand there are some times when you're reading a word, preacher's getting up there, you know, reading the text or teaching the text, just from the word you hear, the Holy Ghost takes that in your ear and sometime begin to speak to your situation, for that man or woman of God has even begun to break that thing now. I mean, when you hear the text, it's like, woo, that's for me today, Jesus. I know it. I feel it all in my spirit. And am I talking to anybody in here? You've ever been? Has the Lord not ministered to your situation just from the reading of the scripture before it was ever broken down? Sometimes God knows what you, well, he all the time he knows, but sometimes he hits you right in the midst of your need so hard, you know it was nothing but God that ordered your footsteps in that place and that preacher to speak that word, or that teacher to teach that word that day to minister to your situation. Just listening to it speaks to your spirit man. Somebody say spirit man. May not do much for your natural man. You hear text, oh, what is he talking about? Okay, I don't see even where that applies to your natural, but to your spirit, it's speaking some things that is necessary for the development of your spiritual growth. So that's one of the reasons why he wanted them at least to get the hearing of the word. Because as listeners, what happens is it begins to bring information, and from that information comes inspiration. And you will see how God uses the listener as a part of the process of learning. So important, so important, so important. He also knows that when you hear the word of God, listen at this, it makes you accountable to and for the word of God. See, you might not want to do with it what you're supposed to do with it, but once you hear it, you're accountable for it. And see, the Holy Ghost knows how to take that same word and do in that word and through that word what will ultimately bring a change in your life. But the Holy Ghost only runs on the tracks of God's word.
Amen.
So the reason why God's people perish, Hosea said, is because of a lack of knowledge. So if the devil keeps you from hearing the word, whether it be in the sanctuary, whether it be on radio, television, or cassette or CD or whatever form you may get the word in, if he can keep you out of that word, then he can keep your spirit from being nourished. Now, listen to this. What people miss about listening, as listeners should and as they hear, is that they need to listen with an attitude of hearing what God is saying to them.
Amen.
And this listening is not a one-time thing. That's why in Psalm 1, the Bible teaches you about meditating upon the Word of God day and night. It is about a reinforcement that takes place in the process of learning. First, you hear it, and it stirs you up, and it does what God wants you to do. But that's all a part of what follows in the next step, which is going to be to learn. That's another reason why you've got to understand you can't listen to the Word one time and think you got it. Anybody ever have in their own repertoire, sacred or secular, favorite songs? Did it become a favorite song just because you heard it once? No, you play that song over and over and over. Ever had a favorite movie? Have you just watched it one time and it became, you know, it may have immediately impacted you the first time, which made you want to go and hear it or see it another time. But it is in that, how many times have you seen a movie the second time that you saw some things the second time you didn't see the first time? Heard a song first time. I mean, the melody or the lyrics or both got you. I mean, stirred up so you got so caught up in the lyrics that and or the beat, and you miss some of the lyrics. You go back again and you hear, oh, I didn't hear that. And so the more you go back through it, there are more things that are revealed about you. And that stuff that's dead, this word is alive. So that's why if I were to take John 3:16, meditate upon it day and night, God will give me different levels of understanding, give me different levels of revelation on that word, because the word is alive and it constantly changes. So that's why you can't just pick up the Bible once a week and think that you're going to get everything you need to grow. You're going to have to pick up this word every day to get something out. You don't eat once a week. Some of you couldn't make it if you just ate once a day. Because after breakfast, if that was your first meal, I mean, noontime, a little thereafter, whatever, your body's going to be saying, hey, can you send something down? We need a little more than that. We done burned off breakfast. I mean, and if you keep on going, and if you'll note, I mean, all of this is a natural form of how things work in the spirit. That's why meditate upon the word day and night, day and night. Well, what happens is this. It starts getting underneath the skin and creating a change in you. Here's what you don't realize again. When you listen to the word of God, the spirit is listening to hear God. That's how the spirit man gets fed. You can't put food in the natural man and feed the spirit man. Spirit man needs spiritual food. And so what you've got to recognize is it is in going in this word. You might read this word over and over again. Say, well, I'm not really getting nothing out of it. Keep reading it. Keep listening to it. The Spirit of God will meet you where you are. One of the things that a lot of folk don't understand is we are layered like an onion underneath the skin. And so what happens literally is that the word has to get through so much of negative programming in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our experiences, that the word has to go through. How many of you know, you know, from knowing the word, that there are some things you shouldn't do, but you've done it? Okay. How many of you know some things you shouldn't do, but you do it? Because y'all looking holier than thou at me now. Now, why, if you know better, you can't do better? because you're like an onion underneath the skin with layers and layers and layers of bad programming. That's why in the 7th chapter of Romans, when Paul says, I know there are some things I shouldn't do, but that's the things I wind up doing. And the things that I should do, I don't do those things. He said, there is a desire in me to do it, but there is a war going on underneath my skin, a conflict with the flesh and the spirit. And the more you feed the spirit with this word, he begins to become stronger. He knows there is a battle, but he can't win it if he's weak. And you've been so programmed with so much stuff, layer after layer after layer after layer after layer, experience after experience after experience after experience, that you've got to get this word saturated in your spirit underneath the skin so that your inner man, your spirit man, will begin to become strengthened enough to be able to do something about what he knows he ought to be doing.
Amen.
And the devil don't want you to stay in the word that much, because then he no longer has power over you. He no longer has the power to control your thinking, to influence your thinking, and to make you operate in what you're thinking, because the word of God begins layer by layer to peel that away. And that's why sometimes, you know, when you fight trying to do the things you know you ought not do, it's because there is not enough word in there yet, enough to unwrap enough of it to get to the core of you. And that's why when we listen, we need to listen with an intent to learn. That's important. Because look at what the word said again. Let's go back to verse 12 of the 31st chapter. It says, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger. Now you will know between each category that he names, there is a conjunction in the word and that joins them together. See, many times in the Old Testament practices, men and women were separated in the learning experience. Men would be in this quarter and in this place. Women would be over here in this quarter. They were not together, and the children, of course, would be in different places. And so here at this time, at the seventh year, where they would do at the Feast of Tabernacles the reading of God, he says, I want to bring everybody together to hear what God has to say. Now, he makes something clear here, because when he moves on, he says that I want them to listen, that they may what? That they may hear, and conjunction, that they may learn. So now, the Lord doesn't want you just to listen to a sermon on Sunday, listen to a Sunday school teaching or Bible school teaching, and then get up out of here and just go on with, you know, business as usual. No, the whole intent of listening is for the purpose of learning. Learning. Whether you're hearing it on television, whether you're hearing it in a study, whether you're hearing it, you know, in a sermon or in a church worship service, your whole intent for listening to the word of God is to learn from it. One of the things that made the Bereans in the book of Acts so important to that day and time was the fact that when they heard something, the Bible says they checked out what they heard. They listen, but they listen with the intent to learn. So when they got through shouting, they said, now let me check this out to make sure that's there, because I don't want to be shouting in vain. And see, the problem with people who don't listen to learn is they can hear some things that sound good, or they can hear some things that were read out of this word in the content of this word, but were taken out of the proper context. And if they were taken out of the proper context, then your shouting is in vain, because God is not under warrant to back up not only what he did not say, but what he did not mean. So listen to this. If God has said something that he means and you understand what he means, then you can hold him to it. God says, put me in remembrance. God wants you to be so clear about what he said that you can say, wait a minute, God, you said in your word. Now, when you can tell God what God said in his word and bring him back to where he said it in his word, he don't need you to remind him. He needs you to be so committed to what he has said that you believe it, and that means that you've got faith in it. And when you've got faith to open up your mouth and speak that thing, then you release God to do that thing. And a whole lot of us don't have that kind of understanding of the word of God.
Rather, we just go through and accept what happens to us and accept our situations and circumstances as this must be the will of God for my life. No, it could be that you are operating in flesh rather than in the spirit. You are in a place that God didn't put you in, you put yourself in. And even if you did put yourself in, when like the prodigal son, when you come to yourself, you can get out of what you got yourself. Y'all quiet on me here tonight. Now listen at this. When you recognize this, because you're listening to learn, what am I learning for? I am learning to understand God's way. Look at what Paul says. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Well, how do I get Christ's mind? Through his word. This is the written mind of God. This is what God's mind that he chose to reveal to us says that God will not change. So if I want the mind of Christ, all I do is go into the word. He was the personification of the word. He was the living Bible. And so when Satan tempted him, he was able to reach back in his spirit. It wasn't no hard thing to call off what he knew, because he was what he knew. Amen. Satan, it is written. Can't do this, can't do that. Satan, every temptation, it is written. Now, when we are tempted, how many of us throw at Satan? Satan, it is written. No, you say, Satan, I am smitten. You just fall down there and just go on do. No fighting, no nothing, because you don't have that word in you to do it that way. You know it's not what you ought to do. You know it's not the best for you, but you ain't got enough strength in this word to do the next level of this. Now keep in mind, we're listening to learn. Learning involves, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself. Somebody say, study to show me. See, because that's what I'm studying. I'm studying to show me. I'm not studying to prove anything to you. I'm studying to show myself, because when it's all said and done, I have a responsibility for the next level of this experience, and that is so that I've got an understanding before I put one foot forward why I'm doing what I'm doing, because when I understand what it is that I am about to put into practice, it is then with an expectation that I expect what I am walking in to be a direct result of what I know. See, that's why when you know the word, when you begin to pray, you can move heaven, because if you are praying according to the word of God, it's already pre-approved. So if it's pre-approved, you ain't got to say, God, if it is your will. Or Lord, I hope and pray that you'll do this. Or Lord, I believe that you can if you only will. No, you can say, God, you said that this does not belong to me. This does belong to me. God, you said, and I'm standing on your word. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Lord, here I am, your strong, faithful, and committed servant. I believe you're going to bring this breakthrough. I believe you're going to bring this deliverance. And all of this is based on his word. So that when you get to the next level, you are not talking, walking, believing in what you think, but rather what you know. Amen. And so then when the enemy comes against you, he may sneak attack you, knock you out, shake you up a little bit, and then you wait a minute. Oh, sneak attack. And then you start not cussing, not getting mad and all that, but you start speaking the word of God to that situation. Do you know Satan don't care nothing about what you say unless what you say is what God has said? And when you call on the power of your elder brother Jesus in that situation, demons tremble. But listen at this. They if you make the demons tremble by calling on the name of Jesus and don't have a relationship with them, they're going to be out to make you tremble. Acts 19 reveals that it was the seven sons of Sceva, when they knew about God but didn't have the relationship with him, and they tried to do spiritual things with fleshly knowledge. Listen at this well. That's why you got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. How you going to do an exorcism on demonic powers and spirits when even if you called them out, you don't know where to send them to? Gonna call out some demons and don't have the authority to know or to operate in that spirit and on that level and don't understand the repercussions of that? See, how are you gonna operate in spiritual things? Jesus told Nicodemus that. How